Praise God. Hey, let's give God a big hand. Wonderful. In fact, as we are speaking right now, we have two teams in the country of Laos and one team in the country of Vietnam. They are also establishing our church. These are only countries that I know. I'm sure there are a lot more. So praise God for that. Hey, hello, people here in the East Center. And hello. Woo, okay. Wow. I need a urine sample. Are you on drugs? All right. I want to also say hello to the people in Axis, the people in the West, and those of you who are watching online. God is a good God. Can someone say amen? Amen. How many of you love Jesus? Amen. All right. Let's pray together, shall we? I believe that God has a wonderful word for us. It just toned down a little bit. The feedback is a bit loud. I scared myself. Whoa, you know. So just toned down a bit. Let's stretch our hands to the left and the right, and let's pray for one another, shall we? Come, let's pray. Father, we just pray right now in Jesus. Those of you on screen also do that. Father, we just pray right now in Jesus' name. Lord, speak to us, oh God. Lord, we long to hear from you, oh God. Open up our eyes so that we will see what you are doing. Open up our ears that we will listen to your word. Open up our hearts that we may perceive your ways. In Jesus' name, we seek your presence this morning. Lord, more than anything else, God, we need you. In Jesus' name, we pray and everyone say, amen. Amen. Are you familiar with this product? Before James Dyson stepped onto the scene, vacuum cleaners were a household frustration. They were bulky, they were heavy, they were quick to lose suction when their bags filled up. Dyson, a tireless inventor, refused to settle for that. What he did was that he poured out years of his life and thousands of prototypes to create a bagless vacuum cleaner. Every major manufacturer turned him down, but instead of giving up, what did he do? He built his own brand. He started to manufacture and sell his own brand, the Dyson brand. In 1993, his first vacuum cleaner was launched. It wasn't cheap, but it was revolutionary. It never lost suction. It was effortless to empty, and it solved a problem for millions of people. Its performance was its best advertisement. Owners, they were so delighted to own this vacuum cleaner that they couldn't help but tell their friends and family. Word of mouth began to spread like wildfire. Dyson became a household name, not because of flashy marketing, but because the product lived up to its promise. Now, what's my point? My point is this. I've just started a vacuum cleaning company. And I'd like all of you to support me. No, that's not my point, although I would love that to be my point. But my point is this. If people can be so eager to share about a well-designed vacuum cleaner, how much more should we share the greatest news of all? Because the news that we have is not just a good product. What we have is infinitely greater. The gospel message, it is a gospel message that endures through the century. It is the only message, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, that can change people's eternity. It is the only message that can transform people's lives forever. The focus for this year is when he speaks. And the Holy Spirit is speaking to us and asking us to partner with him to redeem the world back to God. The Holy Spirit is speaking to us and inviting every single one of us to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ to those around us. Now, by a show of hands, how many of you here, you are already a believer and you are really thankful to God for that? Come on, lift up your hands. Amen. God is already speaking to us. So this morning, I'd like to invite us to turn our attention to the book of Colossians. Paul wrote this letter to the church in Colossae, and he was writing this letter while in jail. He wrote this letter to tell the church then about both the supremacy as well as the sufficiency of Jesus Christ. So today I want to talk to you from the book of Colossians, chapter 4, verses 2 through to 6, 5 verses in all. Let me begin by reading the even verses while you read the odd verses. Those of you who are watching me on screen, please read together, all right? Let me read verse 2. Paul wrote, and Paul has this to say. He said that, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Verse 3, you go. And pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Verse 4, let me read. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Verse 5, you go. Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Okay, verse 6, everybody, in full voice, please. The Bible says, let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Today, I want to talk to you about proclaiming to others. Last week, we were here, or I was here, and I spoke to those of you online. We spoke about confessing to God. It's kind of a vertical part. Me and God, make sure that I get right with God. Today I want to talk to you about proclaiming to others. As I've shared with you last week, the cross has two axes. It has the vertical axis and the horizontal axis. Both axes are important. One without the other is incomplete, and one will also affect the other. Last week, confessing to God. This week, we're going to talk about proclaiming to others. And now, allow me to draw two truths for us from this five verse. Just lower the feedback a little bit if you can help me on that. All right? Just two truths on this from these five verses. On proclaiming to others, where do we start? Number one, we proclaim by praying. It begins by praying. All right? That's key. You start by praying. Now, how do I know that? If you go with me to Colossians chapter 4, verse 2 and verse 4, you will look at in Paul's writing, very casually, the Word of God tells us that we need to pray. Now, let's look at verse 2. Paul says, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful, being thankful. And then in verse 3, he continues to write. He said, and pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message. As you go to verse 4, again, that four-letter word appear. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. So Paul, in asking the people about partnering with the Holy Spirit and outreach, he began with this understanding. He says that we need to pray. Why is that important? Because Paul understands this truth. Don't miss this, friends. Men, no matter how able we are, no matter how loving, how kind we may be, we may even be Care Bear incarnated. We can be the most charismatic, the most eloquent, the most articulate. We can know everything about the Bible. We have an answer to everything. We are Mr. Apologetics. As gifted as we may be, and there's nothing wrong with that, we cannot convict hearts. Only the Holy Spirit can convict hearts. That is why Paul tells the people to proclaim, get this straight. You got to pray. You got to pray. Now, what is the heart posture of prayer? Paul says that we got to pray, number one, with watchfulness and thankfulness. In verse 2, Paul wrote, let's look at those words again. Devote yourselves to prayer. How? What kind of heart posture? Watchful and thankful. Now, let's talk about being watchful. Being watchful is to be on guard. Is to be alert. This term is frequently used to describe spiritual readiness. It has a kind of a military slant. It says, be watchful, be on guard, be alert. Those of you who have been to SAF before, who have done your time in the army before, you know what I'm talking about. On guard. Yeah, yeah. So you just watch. Be watchful. You are not complacent. You are not a blur sotong. You are on guard. You are watching. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, Peter used this word, be alert, or be watchful, and of sober mind. Why? Because your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. So the Bible says as you pray, you got to be watchful. Pray, be watchful. You know, friends, I wonder how many of you, this is true about you.
The hardest thing to do, right, for me is to pray. Do you agree with me? Is it true for some of us? It's easier to do things than to pray. Sometimes, you know, this happens to me a lot. Lord, I want to pray. I want to pray for somebody. I want to pray for John. Lord, I pray for John. Then as I pray, not into two lines, like, oh yeah, let me finish this email first. Let me finish this text first. Oh, Kokan, let's go and get water first. Then I come back. What was that? Oh yeah, John. Lord, I want to pray for John. I forgot something. That happens to me all the time. All the time. It's just incredible. Sometimes, like for example, the time now is 10:43. Sometimes I'll say, okay, I'm going to dedicate 10:45 to 11 a.m. I'm not going to do anything. Just pray. 2 minutes, right? 10:47, my mind wander already. So sometimes what do? I got to write down. Lord, I pray for John. So whatever I die now is in ink. So I come back, I can continue. Is that, that's the way. Why? Because the enemy knows. The enemy knows. It's easy to talk. It's easy to plan, program, all these things. Not that they're not important. They're important, but the enemy knows where. What is the thing that you will do that will hurt the kingdom the most? What is that? Pray. That's why he distracts you. If the enemy cannot destroy you, he will detract you. If he cannot detract you, he will distract you. And the enemy distracts. That's why the Bible says, be watchful, be alert. 1 Corinthians 16 verse 13, be on your guard. Paul says, be watchful, stand firm in the faith, be courageous, and be strong. Be watchful of the enemies. Be watchful of the signs of the times. Let's not live without realizing the signs of the time. Even though we do not know when Jesus is coming back, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, make no mistake about it. Jesus is coming back. And if I may add, Jesus is coming back soon. So let's not live our life just going through our thing. Nothing wrong with making long-term investment. Nothing wrong with buying insurance for our children. Nothing wrong with investing in our studies. We do all these things. I'm not asking you to sell everything and just wait for him to come. But even as we do all these things, we got to understand, watch out for the signs of the times. Pray with watchfulness, the Bible says. That is the heart posture. Pray with thankfulness. The Bible says, devote yourself to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Pray with a heart of gratitude. God is faithful. Lord, I'm so thankful that I can pray. I'm so thankful that I can pray. Are you? I'm so thankful that I can be alone, but I never have to be lonely. Because God is always with me. I'm so thankful just now when Samantha led the song, right? I can't remember now. I am faithful, I am faithful, I am faithful. I don't know what the song. I'm faithful, God is faithful, God is faithful. I'm so grateful that when I sang those songs, they are not just words that roll off my tongue, but when I sing those songs, I can recall so many moments in my life where God has been faithful to me. I can be alone, but I never have to be lonely. On the contrary, you can be with many people and yet feel lonely. And that's the beauty of it. I'm so grateful that I can pray. I'm so grateful that I can pray for people. Because someone once prayed for me, now I can pray for other people. So that they too will come to a place where they're able to name Jesus as their Lord and Savior. So the Bible is saying that you've got to proclaim for others. Where do you begin? You proclaim by praying. What's the heart's posture? Being watchful, being thankful. What's the prayer point? What's the prayer point? Second thing that Paul says is that pray for the gospel to spread. Pray for the gospel to spread. Heart posture, watchful, thankful. What's the prayer point? Pray for the gospel to spread. Now, go with me to verse 3 and verse 4. I'd like to invite the gentlemen to read verse 3, the ladies to read verse 4. Colossians chapter 4, verse 3. Gentlemen, the Bible says, guys, and pray for us, two, that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ for which I am in chains. Verse 4, ladies. The Bible says, pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. So Paul was asking the church to pray that God will open the door for him so that he's able to proclaim the gospel. Now, before we move any further, let's take a look at Paul's ministry. at this point of writing, how was his ministry doing? How's the church coming along? Is he kind of like, you know, chala chala already, like kamkana siya mampos? Or how's the ministry doing? This is Colossians chapter 4, right? Let's go back a few chapters to Colossians chapter 1, verse 6. Let's look at the condition of his ministry. He says this, in the same way, he was writing to the church, just starting this letter, right? It was a praise report. He said that, in the same way, the gospel, he was telling the people in Colossae, the gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world, just as he has been among you since the day you heard it and truly understand God's grace. So Paul is not having a kamkana ministry. He's doing well. The Bible says that the church is fruitful and bearing fruit, just like in among you. But not even for a single nanosecond did Paul think that the ministry is fruitful because he's eloquent. Not even for a single nanosecond did he come to a place where he is self-reliant, where he is complacent. Paul knows that only God can open doors and soften hearts. Even though the ministry is doing well, he went back to the source. He must say, okay, right. I think I've got all my A, B, C, D done up. People are getting doing this, doing that. Everything is fine. No, he said, no, not even for a nanosecond. Am I thinking that it's because of the church system? It's all because of God. You know, in Hope Singapore, let me give you a praise report. In Hope Singapore, in the year 2024, last year, we had a total of 294 people getting baptized. That's pretty good, all right? 2024. This year, 2025, up to September, we have a total of 394 people got baptized just this year. Amen. In fact, just this month, September 2025, a total of 227 people got baptized and declared their faith in Jesus Christ. Come on, let's give Jesus a big, big hand clap. Praise God. So Paul says, pray. Even though the ministry is doing well, even though Hope Singapore, not too shabby. Praise God, because you have a very able pastor. Amen. And I may add, very humble also, right? Pray. It's God. But let's take a step back. I want you to capture Paul's heart for lost people in his prayer requests. You know, right, friends? You want to catch someone's heart, right? It's more than just sit down. I want to talk to you about outreach. The best way to catch someone's heart, right, is kind of like through informal time. What they say naturally, because the Bible says, out of the abundance, come on, help me, of the heart, what happened? The mouth speaks, right? Natural. So if you look at Paul's prayer request, right, it's, as I shared before, he's writing from jail, right? So he's writing to the church. I mean, if I were Paul, if I was in jail, and if I were to write to the church, I tell you, I won't be like Paul. I'll probably say, hey, Kelvin, please, gather all the intercessors, pray for me. Deliver me out of Changi. I don't want to stay in Changi. All right? Please pray for me. Food sucks. Bed hard. I cannot go anywhere. Please pray for me. I cannot tahan already. What did I do to deserve this? I want to preach the gospel. I cannot. That please pray for me. I would have said that. But no, not Paul. Even though he was in jail, what he did was that he asked the church to pray that the gospel will continue to be spread. Man. And I don't think someone was telling, you better write that. It's just out of his overflow of his heart. Even though he was in pain, he was like, hey, it's okay. Pray for the gospel. There's a heart for lost people. There's a heart for lost people. Let me honestly tell you, right? The Bible says, right, for where our treasure is, come on, help me, there our heart will be also, right? So you want to know what's in his heart, right? You look at his banking account. We can say, oh, I love God, but I spent all my money buying cars. I think you love cars more than you love God. How do I know that bank account says so? Another way to know what's really in our heart is to see our prayer requests. If our prayer request is always, I pray for me, my job, pray for me, my job. Not that it's wrong to pray for a job, but if all your prayer is always about your job, anytime people ask you, how can I pray for you? Well, my job, well, very strong, my boss, pray for me, I'm my boy, now primary, going to go PSL, how old is now primary one, but start praying now, 5 years in advance. Yes, are you very tired? Like, pray. Pray for me. You know, oh, my health very jialat, very jialat. Why jialat now? My nails are very painful. You know. Okay. Out of the abundance of the heart, come on, help me. The mouth speaks. So from the way Paul writes his prayer request, we can tell his heart for the lost. In fact, I want to take a look at this. This is super powerful. Look at verse 4. Paul says, right, pray that I may also proclaim the gospel clearly. And I love the last three words, as I should communicate a sense of responsibility. So Paul is basically saying this. Paul is saying that, hey, when I preach the gospel, right, I'm only doing what is right and reasonable. When I preach the gospel, I do not expect a standing ovation. Yay! Well done. You know, when I preach the gospel, Paul is saying this, there's no nobility in this. I'm only doing what is right, what is reasonable. Why? Because Christ's love compels me. And I can't help but want to talk to people about God. It's really about the heart. You know, one of the common complaints I hear in our church, right? Let me be very straight to all of you watching here. Right? And we always complain. Our church always talk about outreach, always bring people, always outreach, always talk people, bring outreach. Blah, blah, blah. I tell you honestly, I say this, but your pastor may hate me, but I'll still say it anyway, all right? If you don't like this, you got to find another church. I honestly tell you, because this is the cry of God. God's love compels us. We want to talk to people about God. Our church is not just formed to do Bible study. Not the Bible study is wrong. 懂这样多不做懂有什么用? As if you go to heaven, God says, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, blah, 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 blah. Very good, go. A class. Fellowship, nothing wrong with fellowshipping. We fellowship to encourage one another. We don't just fellowship as an end to itself. If fellowship is an end to itself, then myself, I'll just go heaven with fellowship forever. Smokeless barbecue in heaven. It's not just all this thing. We're not even building leaders for leaders' sake. We pray for one another to advance our career to do this so that we can get the good news out. That's God's call. Big word, right? If you read the Bible, the meta narrative of the whole Bible is about God reaching out to people. If you miss that theme, you miss the whole thing. If you think the Bible is just a handbook for us to lead our life, the Bible is just teaching us how to do life group, how to do church, all these are subset, you know, the meta narrative, the whole overarching view of the whole Bible. One message, God loves people, God reaching out to people. So Paul says, pray for me that as I do that, I'm preaching the gospel, make it clearly as I should. Whenever I visit the Mandarin Church, one of the things that I do after every service, right, as I also do in the English service, is I will thank the people. For example, Mandarin Church, after they finish preaching, I'll thank the people. I'll go to the usher, say, hey, thanks for ushering. 谢谢你们今天做招待. I'll go to the praise and worship. Thank you today for leading praise and worship. 赞美敬拜, thank you for doing this. And there's some of the leaders, right? The Mandarin people, they have a very good way of answering me. You know? Sometimes the leader will say, I said, 谢谢你们, I'm very grateful. 谢谢你们. And then they answer me, 应该的. What a beautiful way of saying, 应该的, as I should. No nobility in this. So Paul is saying this. Though Paul is chained, through prayers, the gospel is not chained. Though Paul is in prison, through prayer, the gospel continues to be spread. Christmas is coming. I want to ask all of us to create a list of names. We're going to do it afterwards. Right? We're going to create a list of names. Who are the people that you really want to begin to pray for? Could be your parents, your grandparents, your auntie, your colleague, your schoolmate. Maybe some of you are here, but your spouse is not here. You want to begin to pray for your spouse. Maybe some of you, your children.
have lost the faith or not in the faith, you want to write down their names and start to pray for them. Start to pray for them. I want to ask every life group leader. How many here are life group leader? Come on, lift up a hand. Straight up, straight up, straight up. Life group leader. Chiso, 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 chikao den. Okay. Thank you very much. Life group leader, create a life group list of the names. Every Tom, Dick, Harry, Sally, Mary, Akau, Anyang, Atul, Asai, all these are my life group members. Who is Akau's friend? Who is Asai's friend? Who is Tom's friend? Who is Sally's friend? Who is Mary's friend? Write down. Have a chat group and then star it. So that every time, right, as we meet each other for mentoring, before we start, or maybe in the middle, or before we go, pray for the people one-on-one. Let's say I meet Kok Yong. Okay, let's pray for this name. Kok Yong, who are you reaching out to? Akau, Anyang, Atul. Okay, my Asai, Anyang, Apui, Asan. Simi, Punho. Okay, pray. As a live group, we pray. When it comes to live group, before we start the live group, okay, after it's before we go into our supper, and then after that, we'll go into Oviblum, we'll go into soccer, we'll go to basketball, then we never come back. Before we do any of that, let's pray together. All right, everybody, you pray for your name. We all do that. It's so important. So that during Christmas, when they come to faith, we'll know that it's because God softened their heart. So that's the first thing that we learn. Proclaim by praying. Number two, proclaim through our walk and our talk. We prayed, we proclaim it, now we also practice it. Next slide, please. We pray, we proclaim it, now we also practice it. When we pray, we talk to God about people. When we proclaim, we talk to people about God. When we practice, we walk the talk. Right? We walk the talk. But verse 5 focuses on the walk. Verse 6 focuses on the talk. Now, let's look at verse 5. Paul continues to write, "Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders, people outside the faith. Make the most of every opportunity." So, Paul is asking the Christian to live with intentionality. Make the most of every opportunity. As we talk about outreach, and we talk about proclaiming to others, make the most of every opportunity. Now, how do we do that? Listen, friends. Listen. I want to be very practical. Because at the end of this service, right, the last thing I want is just hand raise, come out, sing a few songs, drop a few tears, or whatever. Practical. How can we be intentional? I want to encourage every one of us to set an hour in our weekly schedule, aside to reach out to pre-believers. 1 hour every week. What do you do in this 1 hour? You pray for pre-believers. For example, my friend is Tom, Dick, Harry, Sally, Mary. I would pray for Tom, Dick, Harry, Sally, Mary that 1 hour. Friday, all right? From 5 to 6, I will pray for them. Tom, Dick, Harry, Sally, Mary. After that, what do? I will text Tom, Dick, Harry, Sally, Mary. Tom, I just prayed for you. Harry, I just prayed for you. Sally, I just prayed for you. How else can I pray for you? I tell you, friends, sometimes people may reject the gospel, but they will always be open to prayer. Pray for me, my son, my daughter. This week, I'm going for a health check. I have this project. I have this. I have that. Pray for them, all right? So you pray, you text them that you pray for them, and then you also text them to invite them to different events in the church. For example, in our church, we have different services. We talk about families. Please come to church. Listen to the family sermon. We have this, that's on the lady there, the out of the world, out of this world. You have 2 kids, man, all right? Bring them so that they can go out this world so that you can be on earth to rest for a little while. Fantastic, right? So bring them for this thing, all right? Hey, your parents quite old already. I think Pastor Yong is doing something. What's that? Talk about death, is it, or whatever? Oh, care about people who are very old, is it? Something like, what's that? Someone help me. Caregiver for people who are very old, right? Okay, praise God. Okay, some of you must attend for my sake, okay? Go and attend for my sake. For example, you say, hey, your parents are getting very old. Do you ever thought about how to care for them? Right, Chandra, you know, your kids must come, you know, for example, you know. So come, take care of them. Attend different seminar, different thing. So text them. This is how you do, right? Make the most of every opportunity. It takes intentionality. Turn to your neighbor on left and right. Tell them this. It takes intentionality. Come on, tell them. It takes intentionality. It takes intentionality. How else? I want to give you practical tips. All right? We pray, but we also walk, we also talk. How else can we be intentional? When you go home to have dinner with your family, how many here you are married? once a week, you'll go back either to your in-laws or your family to have lunch or meal with them at least once a week. Come on, lift up your hands. Lift up your hands. At least once a week. Okay, many of you, right? Be intentional. Don't just go down there and just jiao ni. Wow, who jin qin yo le? Wow. Chai bun jin qin yo. Wow, le gui neng o. Jin xiang gui neng le. Wow, gui neng jin yin yo gen it. Plan. Go down there. Students, those of you who grew up with pre-believing families, what do? You be intentional. Go and have meal. Share with your parents, either your old parents or your young, your midlife parents. Share with them about what you do in church. Share with them about baptism. Ba ma, why ka tung tin chu bi eh? Ni zai wo, ding go gui oh, neng ba jia qi ye lang jin zui eh. Then your parents are Hokkien and buy 4D. GG, cheat. Enjoy boy, enjoy boy. And you quit the punch, Kong, Kong, GG, cheat, ma. Belkin, Belkin. That's how I'm going to treat you. Don't dim, girl. They said, they go into water. Okay, those of you who don't understand, too bad. All right. Join the dialect service, go and practice. So they go into water, they come out, share testimony. And then your parents, wow. Then they come, they sow. Be intentional. You sow seeds. In the right time, you will reap a harvest. When you go to work, be intentional. Talk to people. Alright? Talk to people. Don't go to work, do your work. But talk to people. Share your life. Be open. Openness breed openness, because as you are open, maybe someone will come up to you and begin to share about their family problem, their health issue, their marriage issue, their children issue, and that will be a good time for you to listen to them, to pray to pray for them, and then to also proclaim the gospel. So verse 5 talks about our walk. Let's go to verse 6. Let's look at verse 6. Let's read together, shall we? Verse 6, everybody in full voice, please. The Bible says, let your conversation, verse 6, Galatians chapter 4, verse 6. One more verse down. You click one more time. Don't be scared. Okay, got it. Praise God. All right. Brave. Give the man a cigar, all right? Okay, Colossians chapter 4, verse 6. Everybody in full voice, please. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. The Bible says, let your conversation down. This is important, right? Don't miss this. Let your conversation be always full of grace. The word grace here is not talking about politeness. It's not talking about speaking with kindness, although we should. If you read the whole context here, Paul is saying, pray for me that the door will be open, I can preach to the pre-believer. So the word grace here is lightly referring to the saving grace of God. This is the powerful grace that redeems man as we put our faith in Jesus Christ. So Paul is saying, let your conversation be always full of the power of God. You can paraphrase this verse. Next slide, please. As let your conversation be always full of the power of God as you proclaim Him. That's what he's saying. Proclaim the power of God. Seasoned with salt means what? You make people thirsty. You make people thirsty. Seasoned with salt. You make them thirsty. You want to hear more. So the Bible is saying that seasoned with salt and speaking the power of God. How do you do that? How can you speak with the power of God? Hey, speaking of power of God, friends, I just want to let you know. Speaking of power of God, it's not just speaking loudly. It's not just speaking animatedly. Because sometimes we get this kind of understanding. What the guy prayed very powerful. I say, why do you say that? Well, he prayed in Jesus' name. Very powerful. Well, he's just like that because he's a Maori. He used to be from All Blacks. So when your power is not just your action, in Jesus' name. Wow, never very scared because the way you see Jesus. No, the power of God comes when you're empowered by the Holy Spirit to be able to say that will really meet the needs of the person. And how do you do that? When you draw close to God. If you look at verse 6 one more time, let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. That means what? The Bible is saying that everyone has different needs, but you need the power of God to meet their needs. You say different things to different people through the power of the Holy Spirit, things that will touch people's heart and change people's heart. Maybe as you pray to God, it can be a very simple thing. Maybe just go to the office, and maybe when God touch you, say, go and talk to the colleague. Just ask your colleague a very simple question. How are you really? The person's heart broke. Because in truth, we live in a society and everybody say, how are you, how are you? But no one actually stopped to listen to the answer. How are you? Hey, how are you? How are you? How are you? Hey, how are you? 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 How are you really? Maybe his heart broke. First time he heard someone really cared for him. God cared for him through you to him. Or maybe someone just need to know that. Someone just need you to speak to them. You are doing well. I'm praying for you. Jesus loves you. So the Bible is saying that we got to speak conversation that's filled with grace, so that you know how to answer everyone. When God speaks, what do? We listen and we obey. God is speaking to each and every one of us. East Center, West Center, Axis, those of you who are watching in Hope Global, God is speaking to us as a church. God is inviting us to proclaim the good news to other people. And we got to be intentional. We got to pray, but we got to be intentional. Martin Luther once said this. He said, live each day as if Christ died yesterday, rose this morning, and is coming back tomorrow. We got to live with intentionality. We got to live with urgency. Let's do that right now, shall we, everybody? Just take out our phones, take out whatever devices that you may have right now. Would you please do that for me right now? The last thing we need to do is just come up just to pray, lift our hands, sing a song. Take out devices right now, please. Be seated. Take out devices. And write down 2 to 5 names. Who is your Akka Anya Atu Asai? Who is your Tom, Dick, Harry, Sally, Mary? Who are those people right now? It could be your parents, your grandparents. Could be your colleagues. Could be your friend. Could be your children. Write it down. Pen it down, please. Pen it down. Take a moment. Can I invite you to stand wherever you are? Would you stand with me? Can I invite you to pray together with me? These names that you have, would you? Can I invite you to just pray together with me? Come, let's pray together, shall we? Hallelujah. Those of us watching on the screen in the West, in the Axis Center, would you pray together? Pray. Come on, pray. Hallelujah. That's where we start. Father, we pray for your grace. We pray for your mercy to reach out to these people, Lord. We ask that you touch them. Lord, these are our family members. These are our friends, our colleagues. Lord, some of them are from our schools. Some of them are people that we have met, Lord, in the marketplaces. Lord, we pray right now in Jesus' name, Lord. Your hands are not too short to reach out to each and every one of them. Every one of us, Lord, we have a need, Lord. We have a God-shaped vacuum in our hearts, Lord. Only you can fill, Lord. Come, fill us, touch us, oh God. Do your work in the hearts of these people, oh God. As we pray, oh God, you reach out to them, oh God. You create situation in their life, oh God. They will begin to become very curious about the gospel message, Lord. We pray, oh God, towards Christmas, oh God, during this Christmas, oh God, that we'll have friends, that we can invite people, that we can believe that they will come to a place where they're able to name you as their personal Lord and Savior. So, Lord, we commit all these names into your hands, oh God. Lord, we love you, we honor you, oh God. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Let's worship the Lord. Come. Amen.
No, Christ be magnified. Let his praise arise. Christ be magnified in me. Oh, Christ be magnified on the altar.
lift our hands to the Lord. Let's pray together, shall we? Let's pray together. Come, everybody, let's pray. From the front to the back, left and the right, let's pray in the spirit. Hallelujah. Shigala bahale behela baham baba la bahale behela baham ba. Sheke baba la bahande la bahale behela baham baba bakala bahande la baham baba la bahande. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we hear your word. Lord, we want to confess to you and we want to proclaim to others. So God, when you speak, give us ears that will listen, but more importantly, help us to not just listen, but to also obey what you are speaking to us. You are speaking to us and inviting us to proclaim the good news, the gospel to those you have placed in our spheres of influence. Lord, we pray for them and we ask that you soften their hearts so that the gospel will touch them and transform them and grant them eternal life just as you have given to us. We thank you, O God. In Jesus' name, amen. Every eyes closed, every head bowed, please. No one moving, no one looking, no one talking. The last group of people I want to speak to are those among us who have yet to know Jesus. You may have been to church before. You may have a Christian name. You may grow up in a Christian family. You may come from a country that professes Jesus to be Lord over the nation, but the truth about you is that you have never, ever personally invited Jesus to come into your life as your Lord and Savior. I want to let you know that Jesus loves you. And the most important decision you can ever make is to know Jesus personally. So if you are here today, you say, Pastor, I want to know this Jesus. In a moment's time, I want to invite you to pray this prayer together with me. This prayer is specially designed for those of us who are saying yes to Jesus for the first time. And those of you who are already Christians, I'd like to invite you to pray together with us as well. Would you pray together with me? Say, Dear Jesus.
Dear Jesus.
I confess that I'm a sinner.
I confess that I'm a sinner.
And I want to thank you.
I want to thank you
for dying on the cross.
For dying on the cross.
For my sins.
For my sins.
Right now.
Right now.
I invite you.
I invite you
to come into my life.
Come into my life.
Be my Lord.
Be my Lord.
Be my Savior.
Be my Savior.
Help me to become.
Help me to become.
The kind of person.
The kind of person.
I was created to be.
I was created to be.
I pray all this.
I pray all this
in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.